Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode number 104 of Millennial Gaming Speak. I am your host, Logan Moore, with you once again, and joined by, of course, Max Roberts. Hi, Max.
Hi, Logan. How's it going?
I'm not too bad. We're recording at the 11th hour before I leave for, like, the next 5 or 6 days.
Yeah, so you're going to the Big Apple.
I'm going to the very large Apple to see a very large man in the right field named Aaron Judge play some baseball. I hate Aaron Judge. I don't know why I just brought that guy up, even though he's very tall.
You are going to go to the Nintendo store.
I'm going to go to the Nintendo store. Actually, yeah, let's hop right into it, because I was actually going to bring that up again. So I'm going to New York for a few days. What should I get there? Like,
get there?
Or get at the Nintendo store, I mean. I'm thinking probably just a couple shirts or something like that.
Shirts and stuff, because you can't buy that merch anywhere else. You
can
buy games or controllers wherever.
Oh, yeah.
There's some books there, but I think you can get them on Amazon.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like,
mostly
what is the stuff
shirts
that's actually exclusive to the store? It's mainly, like, statues and shirts, isn't it?
Shirts, bags, statues, pins, stuff like that.
Okay.
That's going to be kind of the stuff you want. And so for you, I think just shirts.
Yeah, I'll probably grab a couple shirts. We'll have to see what they have there. Michael wants me to get him a Star Fox shirt. I will probably do that. I kind of want a Star Fox shirt myself because I just really like that symbol a lot. Like, that's now my symbol on my Switch or whatever. I really like the Star Fox symbol I always have. Yeah, I'm excited to go to there. I don't know. We're probably going there either Thursday or Friday, one or the
and,
other.
Sure. It's been recently remodeled, so it'll look all shiny and new when you go in there.
That sounds fun. I'm looking forward to that. Yeah,
that'll
be cool.
It's going to be super cool.
I guess the big thing I'm contemplating right now, though, is if I should take my Switch with me on the trip. Because I'm trying to also use this trip as just a means of, like, detoxing from everything. Like, I think I'm going to delete Twitter and Discord off of my phone. I'm going to, like, stop sending notifications from my email. Like, I just don't want to check anything like that for the next week. And I'm thinking I'll leave my Switch at home as well. But maybe not.
That, it is like technically that would be a part of it then, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it is like an 8 to 10 hour drive there. So maybe I could play some of that Splatoon 2 single player finally. Which I did start the other day, which is fine. Like, I don't know.
The
levels are interesting. They're laid out kind of interestingly. But yeah, looking forward to that. So we're doing that at the last second. It's Tuesday right now. This will go up on Wednesday tomorrow. So I'll be out of town by then. So make sure you pimp the episode to everybody, Max, and let them all know what's good. But thank you for listening to Millennial Gaming Speak. We are a podcast that is associated with Model Systems Media, which is our podcasting brand where you can go find all of our other cool shows over there. So make sure to check out everything else we got going on at modelcitizensmedia.com. Besides trips and video game possible sabbaticals that I'm considering, Max, what have you been up to lately game-wise?
Beat Wolfenstein New Order.
How did you feel about that? How'd you like it?
I liked it quite a bit. I had a lot of fun with it. It's kind of the lunacy. It's just over the top. It's just crazy.
Yeah.
You know, you're fighting all these Nazis, you go to the moon, you steal nuclear codes. Apparently somehow you survive an explosion at the end. Somehow.
Yeah, but you're in a wheelchair now at the start of the next game.
Apparently, yeah.
You gotta go around and shoot some Nazis. That beginning, like, I've played that beginning. It's so freaking fun. Like, that's, like, if that was in, I think I even mentioned this in the preview I wrote up about it, but if that section with the wheelchair was in, like, the first game, it would have been, like, one of the top three highlights of the first game. So the fact that they're starting you off with that right away in the second game makes me think it's going to be that much more insane. Once I play through the whole thing.
It was a really crazy game. I thought the story was fine. I don't care for the splitting paths. I don't think that really...
Where does it split paths? Because you brought
right
that
in
up.
It has splitting paths right in the beginning where you get to choose whether Fergus or Wyatt lives.
That's right.
And
yeah.
I guess that really only changes one of the final fights in the game.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't change anything else narratively, I think.
And they do choose one of those, and this goes back to our conversation we had a few weeks ago about multiple endings and different paths and games, because now they're having the sequel, and I forget what it is, but there is a canonical choice that they've decided to go with out of those two options in the second game. So, like, one of those two is what Machine Games decided to go with, and that is the what they're playing off of for the
so
sequel.
So I have a 50-50 chance of playing the canonical game?
Yeah, it's just, it's weird. Like, I don't understand the purpose of it in instances like that. That's why
In Wolfenstein, it really didn't do anything for me, because I didn't care about anyone, so
exactly.
I killed the kid. I kept Fergus, because he talked a lot.
Yeah, it's just... It's strange. That's we had a huge rant about that like 5, 6, 7 episodes ago. At least I did.
I really like the skill trees, I guess.
Just
the perk towers, like the way you like those were cool. And I mm-hmm. hope that's back in the second game.
Oh, it is. It is.
Okay, good. Because I had a lot of fun with that. I've had fun collecting stuff. Like it was just a good fun romp. It was quick, easy. I played on the second most difficult one. I decided not to play on Uber.
Yeah, that's a good choice. You would have got wrecked.
I don't know.
Uber's actually pretty hard in the game.
I had some stuff I was stuck on and I was just getting frustrated with, but in the end...
As someone who just wanted to play the game and get through the game so you know what's up with those and why people laud them as a great shooter, then it's probably a smart decision for you to just get through it. I will say, so where are you at? Do you have any interest in playing the Old Blood? Because I can't remember. It has been 2 or 3 years now since I've played both of them. But I remember when I played the New Order and the Old Blood side by side, I think I preferred the Old Blood at the time.
I honestly forgot the Old Blood was a thing.
Yeah. It's really good, dude. It's shorter, but it is every bit as good as the New Order in some ways. I really, really liked it. I got the platinum on it on PlayStation. Like, I was, like, totally, totally into that game. And it's on sale quite a bit as well. I think even when it first came out, it was only, like, $20. And it's on sale pretty often.
Maybe? I don't know. Maybe if I see it on sale one day, maybe I'll pick it up. I'm more interested in getting Wolfenstein 2 when it comes out. Or close-ish to launch. I don't know. Mario takes
Christmas,
precedence for me.
In reality, Christmas.
Yeah, Christmas or something. But Wolfenstein was fun. I'm excited for the next one. There's something cool about killing Nazis that have taken over the planet.
Yeah, it's cool that they've brought that series back and it means something again, because that really is like an OG of this industry. Like, that is, Wolfenstein is, for all intents and purposes, kind of the first-person shooter game.
I did find that nightmare thing upstairs where you get to go through old Castle Wolfenstein.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty fun. That's in the Old Blood, too, if I'm correct, I think. Yeah, it is. Those parts of the game are pretty enjoyable. I like those as well. Yeah, dude, the New Order is really good. I want to play it again because, like I said, it has been so long that I forget most of it. I was caught up to speed pretty quickly once I played through the demo portion of Wolfenstein 2, and I was like, oh, yeah, that's everything that happened now I'm remembering. But, yeah, totally want to play through that game again. It's super unique and just a ton of fun. Like, you can kind of turn your brain off and just have a lot of go crazy in that game.
Yeah, you don't have to think about it. And there was a lot of, I used every weapon, I think, equally. And part of that was just trying to get the trophies for the skill tree stuff. But the other part was, you know, just different situations.
They mix and match the situations you're in quite a bit. And, that's, like, one of the cool things I'm looking forward to in the new Colossus as well, is that, like, you can mix and match your weapons as well. So, like, if you are dual-wielding something, you don't have to dual-wield two of the same weapon. You can, like, pick up a shotgun and a pistol, or a machine gun and a shotgun or something like that. So you can have, like, one close range, one for far away or something like that. Like, you get to play around with your weapon sets a little bit more. And so I'm, like, really, really excited for that. And from what I've seen so far, the weapons look 10 times crazier in the new one. Like, I am super, super excited for that game. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I feel good about it.
I mean, so where are you going next? Do you go into Doom or you go into Shadow of Mordor? Because Doom is, I mean, we're talking about how you can kind of turn your brain off and enjoy Wolfenstein and that without much thought. That's like turned up to 11 in Doom, because the plot is just insane and they are very much, it's done on purpose.
Yeah, like, I remember Doom that in the documentary.
Doom is even crazier. And,
It's Doom, Mordor, or I've been thinking about going back to Persona. I don't know.
Okay. I thought you were going to say Uncharted, because I knew you mentioned that last week.
I did tweet about Uncharted.
Yeah, but we're 10 days from Lost Legacy.
I did. Yeah, I know. I'm going to wait for Lost Legacy. And then,
I guess 2 weeks at this point.
Also, I found out I'm going to be staying at my parents' apartment while they're out of town to take care of the cats, and that's right when Lost Legacy comes out.
Okay.
So I get nice, the 50-inch TV. I'm going to be playing Lost Legacy on that.
That'll be nice.
It's going to be great. I'm very, very excited for that. I'm actually slowly getting more and more excited for that game. And when I found out I was going to be able to play on the big TV, that really kind of turned it up a little bit, too. Because I really know nothing about it besides that initial demo and then what they showed off at E3.
I mean, I think that's kind of the same for everyone, honestly. Like, they haven't...
Well, no, they've done
they
previews
had,
and
they
stuff.
They had previews like a week or two ago, yeah, but even then it was like...
I haven't seen any
just
of that.
I think it was like Chapter 4, if I remember correctly, that the previews were. So even then it was like just one very small section of the game. Like, they haven't shown a lot. Like, whereas
well, they
Uncharted
said,
4,
I think
they showed it to us.
Saying that area they showed in previews is the largest area they've ever created.
Yep, that's true.
But really, I don't know anything visually or narratively besides the fact it's Chloe and Nadine going up against some guy looking for some tusk.
Mm-hmm. And it has...
I'm pumped
yeah,
for this
I
game.
I won't say anything.
I'm pumped. I just re-downloaded the Uncharted collection, and then I obviously have Uncharted 4 still installed on my system, so I have like this Naughty Dog folder now on my PS4, and I'm going to put Lost Legacy in there as well. It's going to be cool. I'll have all 5 Naughty Dog Uncharted games in
I'll
one spot.
I'll probably drop everything else when that comes out, just because I know I can beeline through that in a day or two, especially since this is going to be a shorter one compared to Uncharted 4. I think it's
like Uncharted 1 length, so
yeah,
8 hours.
Yeah, I've heard it's like 8 hours or so is what I've heard, supposedly, is what it's supposed to be, which is really cool because it was originally just supposed to be standalone DLC content, and people are still calling it that, too. Like, and I'm like,
this is an Uncharted game.
Do
this
you
is
not
a...
understand what is happening and, like, what this is exactly? So, that's really cool. I'm excited for that. There's so much out next week, dude. And I seriously think I'm buying like 4 or 5 games next week when I get home.
Can I guess?
Go for it.
Matterfall.
I'll probably have the
You'll
game.
Own it, but will you be purchasing it? Maybe. It depends if you're reviewing it or not. Sonic Mania.
Yeah.
Nidhogg 2.
Yeah.
Have you bought Pyre yet?
Yes.
Okay. I knew you wanted that game. I didn't know.
So I did buy that. I have not played it, though.
That Earthbound-like game that I want to call it Downwell.
Undertale.
But it's not Undertale.
Yes, I will
you'll
be
buying that.
That.
So what, that's 1, 2, 3, 4 right now?
Yeah.
Okay. I can't think of anything else that comes out next week.
I'm thinking... You won't guess the other ones, unless... Well, maybe. You probably won't. I'm thinking about getting Lawbreakers. Maybe.
Oh,
not sure,
okay,
though.
The Cliff game. Cliff Bones.
Yeah, thinking about playing that, because I could
it's
use...
It's 30 bucks, right?
It's $30. Y'all get all content after. I like Cliff. I want to see what he's doing. I'm always really interested to see what he does with game design in his games. So I'd be interested in... Like I said, I've played it at E3, but it was so hard for me to jump into that because there's like a bunch of... so many different things going on in that game. And I want to see the actual depth to its systems and the actually like what's going on with that game, like balance wise. And then the other thing, which has been on my radar, and I may choose one or the other here. It's either going to be Lawbreakers or this, and I'll probably choose one or the other. And I'll explain why I'm buying all these in a second. Probably Hellblade, maybe. Especially because I've heard such good things about
that. Just came out for that.
Yeah, and they sound really good, and I like Ninja Theory, and this is a game that there's a bunch of people with DualShockers, who have been talking about this game for a while, so we've all been kind of talking about it privately in our private group chat thing that we have amongst the staff writers, and this game just sounds like super cool, and like people that I trust this morning were saying like really positive things about it. Brad Shoemaker at Giant Bomb was saying some interesting things about it and how it really has some like great moments in it. Sounds like it's only about 6 hours too. Again, it's only $30 as well, so I'm thinking about picking that up as well. The reason I'm purchasing all these two
is because you have weak will.
I know it's because I have a 20% off code, discount code for PlayStation Network that's expiring somewhat soon, and obviously I can use it towards anything. Like I could have used it towards Pyre or whatever last week, but that was only like $3 or $4 off.
Obviously, but if you get 5 or 6 games,
if I stack up a bunch of games, I'll get like $20 or $30 off. So I'm like, yeah, I might just do that. So, and these are all games I'm going to get eventually, and I kind of have some extra money right now, so might just do it. I mean, some of them are locks anyway, like Sonic.
The only thing I could see myself caving on is Sonic on the Switch, though. I would want it on Switch.
See, I don't, and we'll get into that. So I should have mentioned this at the top of the show. This is our Play and Report episode. Hey, so we're going to talk about Sonic and Sonic 1 and Sonic 2 in the second half of the show today, because Max and myself went back and played those, and we'll get into a whole deep conversation about that later when it happens. I am not. I have been swayed to actually buy it on PS4, and I'll talk about why later. I was uncertain where I was going to get it, but I think I'm going to do PS4 now. There's so many things out next week, and then Uncharted, and then Rabbids, and then just, yeah, everything is coming out, so it's going
to
be fun.
God help us all. And then, not to mention, after Uncharted is Destiny the following week, and Knack 2.
Don't forget, I was going to say, are you gonna forget the big one that's coming out that day?
I don't forget the big ones. And then September, the only other thing I can think of that's coming in September is Pokken, but neither one of us care about that.
You're sleeping on a big one.
In September?
It's not really a big one, but it's a big one to me and maybe you. I don't know. Cuphead. End of the month.
Oh, yeah.
29th.
Yeah, Cuphead. And then October is when we get Mordor and other stuff.
Yeah, that's when it gets
anyway,
crazy.
Yeah, these next couple of weeks are going to be crazy. I feel like I'm only going to play Uncharted, which is good, and then Destiny, of course.
I have time off next week. I'm taking some time off before school starts, because I just need some time off, and this trip is part of that, and I'm going to take some time off next week as well. Yeah. So I'm going to actually finally be able to sit down and play some games throughout the week. So that'll be fun. As for what I've been playing lately, though, not a whole lot, because like I said, I bought Pyre, but I didn't want to jump into that just because I knew I was leaving soon and I wasn't going to be able to finish it before I left. So I really held off on starting anything too in-depth. I did, however, play Oxenfree this weekend, which is something I bought when it was on sale a couple weeks back, and I still have yet to play that game, or hadn't played that game until this weekend. The story is good, and I like the way the decisions are laid out and things like that. The writing's really good as well. I don't know how much I liked some of the characters, and I also thought the way you navigated the world was a bit odd. I don't know how much knowledge you have about this game at all, Max. Probably none, if I had to take a wild guess, because it came out like 2 years ago. Yeah. It does some really cool things. I really thought it was mixing up the story-driven, similar to Telltale-type formula in some ways, even though there's really not a ton of branching paths like there would be in a Telltale game. I mean, in Telltale games, I guess there's really not a lot of branching paths once it's all said and done either. But I like the writing. I thought the writing was really strong, and I liked what was happening within the game story and stuff like that. I don't know. We'll keep it concise there. I'm glad I finally played it, because it's been something that I've wanted to check out for a year or two at this point. Yeah. So I played through that. Other than that, this weekend, I know there was something else I spent some time in. I dabble in a little bit of Snake Pass, because I picked that up when it was on sale. It's a cute little, I don't know, game. I don't know. Nothing like I'm going to spend hours upon hours playing, but I've jumped in and out of it a couple times and played through about the first 3, 4, 5 levels or something like that. It's fun. Mm-hmm. The music's good, and David Wise did the music. So it's fun. It's just a quick little game you can hop in and out of. The controls feel good, and it's frustrating at times. It's like the Dark Souls of snake platforming.
Well, but, it kind of, just the way it looks and sounds, like the way people talk about it, it kind of sounds like Octodad Light, like a little bit.
To a degree, Octodad was very insane. Like,
Octodad is chaotic intentionally.
Yes, whereas this, like, you know how to control the character. It is just still very hard to do so. Like, there's a level of skill, whereas Octodad's like, oh, just, let's just be crazy. Like,
have you ever played four-player Octodad?
I can't remember. I think I've played two-player.
Oh my gosh, it's crazy. Like, that Octodad with four people is probably the only way I'd ever go back and play it, because playing it by yourself is infuriating.
Yeah.
But when I played it with four people in my video game history class, it was the craziest thing. We had it on a roulette, and so every time we completed a task, all of us changed limbs. It was great. We had a crowd around us, and we were just all swapping body parts. It was awesome.
I don't think I ever finished Octodad. I know it's like 90 minutes, too, isn't it? Or something like that.
Yeah, 90 minutes, maybe 2 hours. It's
I got into it, and I was like, this is pretty lame. I mean, it's funny. It's a funny game, and this concept is funny, but I got into it, and I was like, this is just so zany. The game itself was what was kind of bad. I loved everything else, or your freaking secret octopus dad.
No one knows you're an octopus.
I know there was something else I played recently. Maybe it was Snake Pass, so that was it. The only other thing I've been spending time with is obviously Sonic Games, which we'll talk about, and then MLB The Show. I decided to go back to that because that is a good game to play.
Playing more baseball.
Yeah, that's a good game to go back to when you are not trying to play much of anything else before anything story-based before you go on a trip. So I've been diving into that, and I've played 4, 5, 6 matches over the past few days online, and I'm really good at pitching in that game. I'm really bad at hitting, though. Just so bad at hitting. So, been playing that.
I'm bad at all of it, so don't you worry about it.
I'm really good at pitching. Like, if I give up like more than a run or two in a game online, then I've done pretty good. But at the same time, I don't know if everybody just sucks at hitting, kind of like I do. I don't know. It feels really good, though, when you can get people to rage quit. Like last night, it was like 0-0 in the 7th inning, and I hit a 2-run homer off this dude in like the bottom of the 7th, and he just immediately quit. I was like, come on, it was only 2 runs. Give me a break. So I love that game, though. I constantly go back to that.
Baseball.
Actually, I haven't gone back to it in quite some time, truthfully, but this is the first time I've played it in a little bit. That's about all I've been diving into. I'm really looking forward to next week, though. I'm trying to decide what to play first next week, which might depend on if I'm reviewing certain games or not. We'll have to see. But very excited for next week. Very excited to have some time off and catch up on a bunch of things before I have to dive back into school. Max, news this week. Not a lot going on, so we're not going to spend too much time with news this week. We may run over a couple things real quick. Really, the only big story is Dragon Quest Builders 2 is a thing that is coming to PS4 and Switch, actually, which is kind of cool, but RIP Vita. Too bad for the Vita.
Yeah, RIP Vita.
Luckily, Vita is still kind of alive because Persona 5... Okay, Persona 5 Dancing Star Knight and Persona 3 Dancing Moon Knight are both coming to PlayStation 4 and PlayStation
I will be
Vita.
Getting the 5 dancing game.
Did you get Persona 4 Dancing All Night? Did you get that
I
one?
Really wanted to. I decided not to cave on it.
The price stayed high on that one for a really long time. I was going to get it too once it fell in price, but it just never really did.
I love those dancing rhythm kind of games. Elite mm-hmm. Beat Agents is one of my favorite games on the DS, and I love the characters in Persona 5. I'm much further in 5 than I was in 4. So I would love to get the Persona 5 dancing game.
So these are obviously, like you said, within the same vein as Persona 4 Dancing All Night, which was on Vita. It was just on Vita exclusively, correct?
Yes.
Yes, it was. So it's cool to see these coming to PS4 and Vita. We had been hearing rumors about them for at least a little bit now. Some websites popped up a couple days ago. So that's cool. It's cool to see both of those, especially Persona 3, which I haven't played, but I know the Persona community and the people who do love that game were freaking out that they decided to go back and bring back those Persona 3 characters that everybody loves mm-hmm. so much and put them into one of these games. So that's really cool that Persona 5 isn't the only one getting the dancing treatment. In addition, Persona Q2 was announced for Nintendo 3DS. Unfortunately, no Switch.
The 3DS lives.
Unfortunately, I think a bunch of people knew that this was coming. Persona Q: Shadow of the Labyrinth was the first one that came out a couple years back, and it's got this chibi art style to it. If you haven't seen the Persona Q games, and it featured, I think Persona Q featured the characters. Persona 4, if I'm correct, and I think this new one's going to feature the characters of Persona 5.
It is 5. The Q2 is 5, for sure.
So that's cool. Again, yeah, I wish it was Switch, but, I mean, it's, again, like, anytime something is on 3DS, like, I'm not shocked by it, or I'm not really, like, surprised, because there is that, what, 50, 60 million install base or whatever.
It's a big, group of people.
Yeah, it makes sense to put it there, especially when these are Japanese games, and the 3DS is far bigger in Japan than I think it is here.
I'm still pulling for a Persona 5 remaster on Switch one day.
That will never happen, ever. I would not bet on that. It would not be a remaster. It would be a Persona 5 downgrade. I think they would have to downgrade. I really think they would have to pull a lot of things out of that game, or at least.
No, they wouldn't. They got Persona 4 on PS3.
Yeah, but what I'm
saying
is. 5
on PS3.
What I'm saying is, I don't know. It would be interesting. It
totally could run on Switch.
Is the Switch more powerful than the PS3?
It can run on Switch.
I mean, it could, yeah, but they'd have to. It would be like a port of the PS3 version more so than PS4.
Yeah,
and that wouldn't happen.
It'd be like golden. It would be crimson.
Except that went on Vita. They keep those games on PlayStation, and then that's why they
have
this whole Q series on Nintendo devices.
I have hope.
Nah.
It would be so good on Switch.
Nah. Keep some things on consoles, please.
But then Switch is a console.
Yeah, I guess. Hold on, I gotta sneeze.
Sneezing boy.
I sneezed. All right, there we go. So yeah,
power
that's
of
cool.
The mute button.
If you're a Persona fan, it's cool to see that. Other than that, really, there's not been a lot this week. We finally got some new footage. I mean, this is today as of like right now. We finally got some footage for NBA 2K18, which they had not shown any of yet. We got a cool new trailer for Mario and Rabbids last week, where we see an opera singing Rabbit, which is a song that Grant Kirkhope put together, which that game is going to be so good because I keep forgetting that he is doing the music for it, which makes me just that much more excited for Mario and Rabbids, which is still a sentence that I cannot believe I'm uttering, but sure, let's go with it. And then Sonic Mania, I don't know if I just said that, it got some cool new trailer as well, showing off some of the bonus areas to the game. The last thing I guess we could really mention here is that there is as of this morning, Nintendo revealed a new Nintendo 3DS XL coming stateside with Samus on it. It coincides with Metroid Samus Returns releasing next month. It's pretty cool looking. I like my favorite thing about it, honestly, is just the red and the yellow playing off of each other more so than the Samus emblazoned upon the front of it.
Yeah, it's. And then they got the Samus logo on the bottom of the. Oh my gosh, it looks so good.
It looks cool.
I want it so bad.
Don't buy it. Don't buy it. Please don't.
I want it, though.
I know.
Like I told you, before the show, if I could trade in my Majora's Mask 3DS and, like, break even, I would do it in a heartbeat. But I can't. That's just not the world we live in. So I can't. I can't just
game?
Go buy it.
Do you get the game with it?
I'm
gonna guess
not,
no.
I do not know.
I don't think so.
Nintendo has done bundles in the past where it does come with the game.
It does not come with the game.
Okay. They've also done bundles where it doesn't come with the game. So.
Yeah, because Majora's Mask didn't come with the Majora's Mask.
It didn't come
3DS
with it,
either. So.
So.
Yeah, it definitely looks cool. I'll give you that. But like I said, Nintendo is totally trying to cash in on the last few big games that they know they have left on his device, and by creating a new 3DS that obviously people like yourself are going to freak out about, they're trying to reel you back in and make that one last hardware purchase of the 3DS.
I would love to own it, but it's not going to happen. There's just
too many other games coming out this fall as well.
Not just that. There's also, I just have a lot of life stuff happening. Like
that's
Abby
what I'm
and
saying.
Abby and I just got an apartment yesterday. Like that.
Did you actually end up signing for that?
We locked it in. We put the deposit down. the security deposit, so it locks it in and takes it off the market. It's like pre-ordering, actually. I pre-ordered an apartment.
That's good. Do you get any pre-order bonuses with it?
No, I don't, actually. There's no bonuses yet. Might get some free DLC down the line. We'll see.
Don't forget the new fridge DLC and the...
Yeah,
the box spring add-on.
And the countertop skin.
Yeah, don't forget about all that. Now, that's what I was saying, is that there's too many other games coming out this fall for you specifically to probably justify a hardware purchase.
The next games I know, like, for sure I'm getting is actually just Mario. Mario is the last landlocked, like...
But you're getting all those amiibo, too, aren't you? Are you getting that whole set?
I have it ordered. I may pass on those. I actually need to do something about those later. The amiibo I'm definitely buying are the Metroid ones.
I would. Are you really? Those are like $30, aren't they?
It's a double pack, yeah. Dude, you're talking to me.
Yeah, I know.
I
know, but they'll be there. Like, I passed on the Smash Bros. Ones. I've seen Cloud and Corrin and all those guys, like, all over the place in every store I go to lately.
Makes me sad that you probably will not finish that set.
You're so close. No, I probably will. They're in stores all the time. I've seen them everywhere. So I don't feel like a sense of urgency where I have to pick them up right now. So
no, but I feel like you won't. Makes me sad.
Plus, I've got my 20% off at Best Buy on all of those, so I may pick them up there if they ever have them. Yeah, there's just too many other games coming out. So you're doing Uncharted, then Destiny, then Metroid.
Those two.
Then the $30 amiibo pack, and then Mario, and that's it?
Yep, that's what I have planned, yeah. I've got Uncharted and Destiny already paid for. Uncharted at GameStop, because I had credit and I wanted that game physically. Destiny digitally because it's
okay,
resale.
Okay, so I brought this up on the show a few weeks back. Let's say you were to want some other games for a wedding present. What would you want?
Rabbids, which is weird to say.
That's very... I don't know if I could buy you Rabbids as a wedding present.
That'd be crazy. I don't know. I could... The weird thing is most of the game, two of the games I would want come out after my wedding, but I'll still be on my cruise.
What are they?
The Assassin's Creed and the Wolfenstein.
I didn't know you actually wanted that.
I'd give it a shot. I'd wait for reviews, but I'd give it a shot.
It's very good, trust me.
I don't know. What else comes out? Knack 2. I need a co-op game for Abby.
I'll get you Knack 2. There you go.
It'd be beautiful. Abby and I can play co-op.
I'm still very excited for playing through that game with Grant. I think we're going to do that. I think Nat comes out. No, it's actually the day before. Crap. I think it is, at least. I was going to say, I think it comes out before Labor Day weekend, but I think it's actually the day before. So that kind of sucks. Me and Grant are going to play through that co-op. Still very excited for it.
Nat 2 comes out September 5th. So yep. the day before Destiny.
Yep. Which means it'll be... Is Destiny a Wednesday release?
Destiny 2 is the 6th of September, which is a Wednesday.
What the heck?
That's a weird... Well, I think it originally was that Friday, but they bumped it up 2 days.
Yeah, they did. That's right, because it was the 8th, and then I remember they pushed it forward, which is kind of weird, but sure.
A Wednesday release? I mean, a lot of people are going to be taking off work.
I don't know if that's ever... I can't think of the last time that game released on a Wednesday.
And also a huge AAA game.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, is that like you'll have some games releasing on Wednesdays occasionally, like I think Tacoma did last week, but that's because the Microsoft Xbox store updates on Wednesdays, whereas the PlayStation store updates on Tuesdays. So that was the reason for that. But yeah, kind of weird.
It is weird. Maybe that's why it's Wednesday instead of Tuesday, because... That would give digital copies would be technically.
Well, I mean, you got to think games release on Tuesdays all the time on Xbox.
I guess Microsoft. Yeah. Never mind then. I guess it's fine. I don't know. It's weird. It's weird regardless.
It's a weird day. So yeah, that's about all the news we got this week, though. Nothing much happening. Still very quiet. I think, not next week, the week after. We're 2 weeks out from Gamescom. So things will be picking up, I'm sure. Maybe not this week, but next week and the following week, I'm sure things will start to get a little bit busier. And we will start to see into the crystal ball that is fall a little bit more, even though everything is kind of already scheduled out. Do you remember, like, when we were in, like, April or May, and we still didn't know anything that was coming out, like, September and after? Do you remember that? And we were all like, oh, wow, like, this year is so crazy already in the first half, and we don't even know anything that's out this fall. And then they're like,
hey. You mean last year?
No, this year. We did not know anything. I think it was, like, around April or May. We still did not know anything that was really due out after September. We're like very broad 2017 release windows, but nothing had a really stringent date yet. Like we knew Mario Odyssey. Like you got to think of things that we didn't know were coming this year, like Wolfenstein, The Evil Within mm-hmm. 2. Crackdown wasn't confirmed yet either. Like we knew a couple things, like the Call of Duty Battlefront Mario. Like we knew a couple things, but we didn't have like firm release dates for everything, and now to see it all lined up, it's like, whoa, okay, holy crap. So
it's gonna be a crazy year,
and I think we keep saying that on every episode, but it really is. This is the best year for video games ever, and I've said that at the start of the year before it was even began. I was like, Max, I think this is gonna be the best year ever, and I honestly believe that it has been. So we're in a good place right now.
It's been wild.
As crazy as it is, it's not stopping in January either, because we got, like, Ni No Kuni 2, like, first 2 weeks of January or something crazy like that as well. And then there's a couple other things lined up for spring that I can't remember off the top of my head right now. Games don't stop anymore, I guess, which is fine, but it stresses me out a little bit, if I'm being honest, even though it probably shouldn't.
Can't stop, won't stop.
So, okay, that's it for news this week. Like I said, I'm sure it'll pick up here soon. We're going to jump to the second half of the show where, yeah, Plan Report has returned. Yay!
Woo!
We will give you the lowdown on Plan Report if you're not familiar with that segment here in a minute, and we're going to talk about Sonic the Hedgehog 1 and 2. So you better put on your blue speed Sonic suit and get ready to listen to us talk about that one. We will be right back in just a minute. Welcome back, boys and girls. So, Plan Report is back. Hooray. It only took us like 80 episodes.
Is Plan Report?
Let me explain it to you, Max, because I'm sure you don't remember.
So, I don't.
When we started this podcast, we've explained this a couple times the past few weeks, too. When mm-hmm. we started this podcast, though, we decided that one of the core elements of the show, we wanted to be us going back and playing old games, because we are a little bit younger for gamers. We missed out on kind of the entire mid-80s to early 90s run of those early video games, the importance of the NES and the SNES's Genesis, and all that stuff is kind of lost on us to some degree. So we decided that we should go back and play some older games that we missed, that we were either too young to play at the time and we just passed it by or whatever. So that was one of the core elements of the show when we first started off, and if you go back and listen to any of those first, like 10 or 15 episodes, I'd say we do Plan Report somewhat often. But then after, I'd say episode 20, I don't think we ever did it again.
The last game we said we were going to do was Super Mario 64, and that never happened.
And that never happened. In the past, we did Mega Man 2, we did Castlevania Symphony of the Night, we did Metroid. We did
Mega Man 1 and 2.
I don't think we did one. We did not do one. I never
did
played
one. Did we do 2 and 3 then?
I don't think we did
two Mega Man games, for sure.
We just did 2. I know. I never played any others.
But I played 3.
I think you just bought 3 for yourself and played it. I don't think we talked about it, though. I think we just did Mega Man 2. We also did Zelda Link to the Past, and we were talking about doing a couple others at some point, like Earthbound, and I don't know. We had a list for a long time, and we just never ended up going back to it, and we opted to start doing topics every week instead of sticking to Plan Report. So when we turned over a new page on this podcast or a new audio file on this podcast, whatever the heck that would be.
Yeah.
Whenever we hit 100, we decide that we should probably bring that back, because that is one of the core elements of this show, or at least we wanted it to be starting off. So, with that in mind, we have decided to bring it back finally. Yay! And woo! Like I said, the first games, we decided to do a double feature for our foray back into this segment, and we decided to do Sonic the Hedgehog 1 and 2, because, of course, like we said, Sonic Mania is out next week, so it coincides kind of well for the most part here, especially since Sonic Mania is very much in the same vein as those OG Sonic games. Max has not played them up until this past week, correct?
Correct. The only Sonic games I have played is Sonic Advance 1 through 3, and then a couple of the 3D ones, like Sonic mm-hmm. Heroes, even some spinoffs like Sonic Riders. I really have not played...
So the stuff from the GameCube era and...
Yeah, stuff from it, there.
GameCube, GBA, stuff like that. Whereas I, on the other hand, I am a bit more well-versed in these games, and I grew up playing them. So I dug out my Sega Genesis this week, and I actually played Sonic 1 and 2 on my Sega Genesis, which was a treat in and of itself. It was a process getting it all set up, because when I dug my Genesis out, the audio video cable is not compatible with TVs anymore. What a shock. So I had to order one off of Amazon. It took like 3 days for that to get here. So I was kind of waiting around, and I didn't get to play them as much as I would have liked. But I played them enough.
He wanted to be an OG and play on that. He could have played on Xbox like I did.
I'm very glad I did. And so we'll get into this right here.
All right. Hitting the ground running.
Well, hitting the ground running just like Sonic would do. So I did actually download Sonic 1 on my Xbox, and I played it. And it controlled horribly. It was very bad. I felt like I had no control over him. Max, good news. Second I played it on Sega Genesis, felt amazing. It feels so freaking good on that system. Like, you should not play these games emulated. Like, if you have the means to somehow play it on a Sega, like, do it. Go for it. Because that is the one thing, and I'm actually really glad that I decided to play those emulated versions on Xbox first, because when I did finally get my cable in the mail this weekend for my Sega Genesis and I finally got it set up, like, dude, they feel so good on that controller still. Like, that is how those games are meant to be played. I mentioned it earlier, but the reason I'm going to play them on PS4 now is because I think the PS4 D-pad is most akin to the Sega Genesis D-pad as well, and that's how you got to play those games. Like, I know you used the thumbsticks, didn't you?
I used the thumbsticks, yes, and it's actually kind of interesting to hear you say it didn't perform as well or didn't feel as good, because Digital Eclipse is the one who did these ports.
Yeah.
And they're the ones who've done the Mega Man Legacy Collection and the Disney Afternoon Collection. So what they do is their process is to emulate the hardware and then run the game through it. So you're emulating the actual piece of hardware that it was on at the time, which is why, like, the Mega Man Legacy Collection still has the, you know, you can only have so many enemies on screen mm-hmm. at once and buffering and things like that.
Yeah.
So it plays more accurately, so it's kind of interesting to hear you say, I guess truly it has to be because it is, we're using a different type of input, which is the analog stick. I tried a little bit of the D-pad and I just didn't like the way that felt.
Yeah, I think it's not a bash on the emulations or the ports or whatever you want to call them themselves. I think it is just that input from the controller to the TV is what, and maybe it's different for me because I do have a point of reference with these games, because I mean, I grew up on Sega Sonic 1 and 2 and Sonic and Knuckles. I never really played Sonic 3, even though a lot of people think that might be the best one. I've never really played the emulated versions of these very much. Like, if I ever play these, it is on the Sega Genesis. So maybe because of that, it felt more right to me to finally be able to go back and play it that way. But there was, like, just an overall feeling of, like, something's different. Like, the controllers back then were so much different, too. Like, the Sega Genesis controller just has three buttons on it. They're all jump on Sonic and then the D-pad, which is, I mean, there's different... I mean, it's pretty much left, right, up, and down for the most part, and that's about it. Whereas the thumbsticks, you can kind of put in any which direction, and I don't know if that would... I don't know. I just don't know how that translates when you are playing on these emulations.
I'm curious, because, you know, we chose these games because Sonic Mania is coming out. Sonic Mania is a game that looks aesthetically like the games of the old and plays like them, but it's being designed in today. So I'm curious if how well they've designed it to integrate with thumbsticks, because thumbsticks are standard control options today. So I am curious how that game is going to feel wherever we play it, Xbox, PS4, or Switch, and we decide to use those analog sticks. It's going to be interesting.
I think it'll feel fun. I am going to stick to the D-pad, I think, for the most part, just because, again,
if I was,
I think I, that's what I will feel comfortable with.
If I played on PS4, I would do the D-pad. I like the D-pad on the PS4. I like its position.
Yes. And that's why I don't want it on
Switch. The Xbox D-pad.
That's why I don't want it on Switch, because I could not play it on that thing's D-pad at all. Like, in fact, if you play it on Switch, you're going to have to use the thumbstick, I think.
Well, one thing, though, I do like the D-pad on the Pro Controller.
That's true. I keep forgetting about the Pro Controller, yeah.
And that would be great for TV mode, but if it was taken out portably, then you're using that thumbstick. But what I think, though, on the Switch is those Joy-Con thumbsticks are tighter. They're tighter radius.
They are,
so
yeah.
I think it would be better than something like an Xbox or a PlayStation controller, which has a wider range of motion, which is good on other games. But if you're playing something like a platformer, which maybe we'll even talk about really how much of a platformer is Sonic. But, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how that game feels, especially on Switch.
So, yeah, I'm really... going back to these has gotten me definitely very much
jazzed.
More interested. That, for one, yeah, I'm way more excited to play Sonic Mania now. But I'm also, yeah, a lot of those things we mentioned, like the controls and what is going to be the best way to play. Like, it is very odd that... this is, for all intents and purposes, like the first Sonic game in this same vein, Sonic Mania, since Sonic and Knuckles, if I'm correct. Sonic CD? I can't remember.
I do genuinely think Sonic Advance 1, at least, is very much in the vein of these old ones. Granted, because it was designed on the GBA, this was very similar, and especially when I played Sonic 2, I can see the roots of design in those games, particularly 1. I think 2 and 3 go off and do other crazy things that are cool, but I would argue that Sonic Advance is kind of one of the last ones that is in this vein. And then I've heard a lot of good things about the... I'm going to get it wrong, I think, but there's... I think it's called Sonic Generations, maybe.
Yeah.
Whatever the new one's coming out, where it has new Sonic and old Sonic in the same
Forces.
Game.
Forces is the one that's coming out later
now,
this year.
But what was the game before it, though?
I think it was Generations, yeah.
I've heard good things about that as
well.
So maybe that... and we haven't played that, but maybe that was kind of the
last
one.
Well, when I say in the same vein, I'm talking everything from the aesthetic to the music. Like, it is very much... I don't know.
It kind of sounds like a Mega Man 9 or 10. 9 or
yes.
10 were made in those, in I think 2009, 2010-ish. And those...
something around there, yeah.
Those were designed to be just like NES games.
Yes.
They performed the same way, you know, as if they ran on that hardware. And Sonic Mania, I think, is very similar to that, where it almost looks like it could have been a Genesis game.
Yes. I mean, there are some differences. I have noticed some graphical differences and, like, certain things that I've seen within the gameplay footage for Mania, like, you obviously could not do on the Genesis back then.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a little bit of little bit more depth to everything while keeping that kind of... sprite, like pixelated Sega Genesis look to it, but
that's
for the most part, it is very similar to that.
That Shovel Knight does. Shovel Knight couldn't run on an NES. It actually has a couple of colors that are outside of the NES color palette, but it's as true as possible. And there are versions of a Shovel Knight I've actually seen that run on NES if you mod it and whatnot.
Uh-huh.
But you know, it's designed that way, but it does things that you could never have done on an NES, like the parallax backgrounds and stuff with the different depths and things like that.
Yeah.
But it's that homage, it's that spirit that's carried on and brought into this new project, and I think that's one of the things that's most appealing about Sonic Mania as we get closer to it.
Yeah, I totally agree. Let's get into the actual games, though, because we haven't really... We'll start with Sonic 1. Not a great game.
It's
aged really poorly.
I was so mad at this game.
So I played up until the third zone, which is
spring zone.
Spring zone or whatever. And then I could just kind of reach my wits end. See, I knew the difference between Sonic 1 and 2. So as I was playing through Sonic 1, I was like, yeah, I kind of just want to go to Sonic 2 now. And so I reached kind of my wits end with the spring zone. It's a good starting point. Here's the thing with that I'll say about like the Genesis games, and like there's always been the Nintendo versus Sega debate, or Mario versus Sonic, whatever. Sonic wins in aesthetic. I don't want to say. I'll say this: it can go toe to toe with Mario in music. Take that how you want it. I really think those old Sonic games, the original ones, Sonic 2 especially, I think has one of the best soundtracks ever. It can at least contend music-wise. And I know the Mario games are lauded for their music and Koji Kondo and all that stuff. But the Sonic games are not a pushover when it comes to music. Obviously, graphics-wise, I think the Sonic games look better. I think the colors pop more on them.
Well, it's that blast processing.
The blast processing, yeah, of course. No one knows what that even means, but yeah. I think they look very good, and Sonic 1 still looks fairly good, even blown up on my HD TV. The game just does not control great, though. Here's the thing that I was discovering while I was going back through Sonic 1, and Sonic 2 is better about it, and even like Sonic and Knuckles and stuff like that, or Sonic 3 are also better about it too. But the whole game's premise is what, Max? Gotta go fast. Go fast. You're Sonic. Mm-hmm. You are Sonic. That game is constantly slowing you down.
It like, is the worst design possible. It literally everything goes against it. There's an entire zone dedicated to being underwater. You move up. Egregiously slow under there, and not only that, you have limited oxygen, and even if you're standing next to the bubbles that are supposed to give you air, they may not pop up because it's on a rotation and it doesn't. I can't tell you how many times I died waiting for a bubble. I'm right here, I'm here, give me a bubble. There are walls, enemies. It literally will just, you'll just have to stop and then turn and go a different way or something. And if you get stuck in a little like dip, forget about getting out of there without walking up the hill super slow.
Oh my gosh, which is why they instituted dashing in the next
game. Sonic 2. Infinitely. Yes. Oh my gosh.
And that was one of the reasons why I actually quit, because I kept getting stuck at one point in Spring Zone where there was like a dip, but there was like spike things like in this depth that kept going around in circles. I don't know if you remember that.
Okay. Yeah, I figured out.
I kept getting stuck there, and I was like, this is literally impossible.
The secret is you have to jump up. From the middle, you have to stop in the middle and jump up to the center platform above you. You barely get up there.
You do, but even then, getting up there is hard if you get stuck in the dip because you got to run up. Awful. It's really bad.
It's hard because if you want to stop, it's hard. But if the game wants you to stop, you'll hit a wall or something.
Yeah, it's really really rough. I think that one does not hold up well at all. I think it has a good starting point for the series, but yeah, that was like the one thing that kept standing out to me though. Like I said to start off, like. Green Hill Zone, and the first couple levels of Green Hill Zone do a good job of like, oh yeah, this is Sonic, you gotta go fast, blah, 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 blah. Like, it's like, okay, like you do pretty well in some of those early stages. But then when you get into the second zone, which I can't remember any of the zones.
Marble Zone.
When you get into Marble Zone, like the entire zone is like very slow, very plodding, there's constantly things in your way. And the other thing I hated, and this carries over to Sonic 2 as well, is that if you start going too fast in those games, they throw things at you to slow you down. Which I get. Like, that would make sense. But they do it in the most rip-off of ways, where it's like, oh, just an enemy in the middle of the road out of nowhere. Like, on Aquatic Zone or whatever in the second game. I can't remember the name of that one. They keep, like, things will bust out of walls, like, and just hit you while you're running. And it's like, what the heck? Like, it gets so frustrating. I understand the purpose behind it, but those games are very unfair at times. And I know they are more of a product of the 90s where games were like that. So I'm trying to compare them to how games used to be rather than how games are now, because now games are almost too forgiving at times. Yeah. But there are a ton of unfair things in that game in both of them that I was still getting tripped up on as a 23-year-old, the same way I was getting tripped up on it when I was like 3 or 4.
It's a terrible platformer.
Yeah.
It is so imprecise.
See, that's the thing. I was feeling like I had more control over Sonic using the Sega Genesis controller. Because I agreed, it felt really loose to me when I played it on Xbox.
Like, I can't tell you how many times I died, both in Sonic 1 and 2, just trying to land on a tiny platform because I had to, like, it's going back and forth, and I had to jump to a new one, and I'd just miss and then fall in the water.
Chemical plant zone.
Oh, my gosh.
You have no idea how many times I died at that part as a kid.
You know exactly what part I'm talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, because I could never get past it. I was, like, 3 or 4, and I could never get past those platform parts on Chemical Plant Zone. I think the couple times I did, I just, like, stopped playing. I was like, I'm so stressed now because I finally beat it that I don't even want to try it anymore because I'm just so freaked out by it.
It is... It's a terrible platformer. So it really has all these design principles kind of mixed up. It's like you got to go fast, but we're going to slow you down when we want you to. You know... And then you're going to have to jump on these platforms. But it's not as good as our counterpart because it's all about speed. And so he builds up speed quickly, but he's also very loose. It's almost contradicting design decisions. But kind of like you said at the top of this when we were talking about Sonic 1, visually, it's great for its time. Yes. You know, blast processing and all that stuff. I remember I let the controller sit for a little bit and Sonic looks at you and he starts tapping his foot. That was unprecedented at that time, and he had attitude, and there was character coming off portrayed in these sprites, and it's great. His models and the characters and stuff. I do wish Sonic 1 had more enemy variety. Sonic 2 fixes that. Mm-hmm. I think Sonic 1, you see the same enemies in all the zones. But another thing that's interesting about the design of Sonic levels, and this kind of goes between all of the old ones, I think, and Mania will as well, is there's like maybe 2 or 3 branching paths. There's the middle floor, like the middle section, there's the top section, and there's the bottom section. And those are where you can find Chaos Emeralds and stuff, or extras or bonus areas.
Especially in Sonic 2, yeah. Sonic 1 is a little bit more straightforward. Sonic 2 starts introducing the branching paths a lot more. Mm-hmm. There is a lot of different paths in that game, which leads to a lot more replayability
exactly.
for one thing, but it also leads you to figure out, like, okay, I keep getting tripped up in this one path I'm going down. Is there an easier route to take if I can find an easier route? Because that was the thing. In Chemical Plant Zone, if you know the right path to take, you can kind of bypass a lot of things that are hard with that level. Mm-hmm. You just have to know how to navigate around the world. But you do, if you kind of go on autopilot in your head and you're not thinking about branching out to other paths, you can just keep taking the same path every time. So mm-hmm. you kind of have to go into it with the foresight of, okay, I'm going to look for other routes.
I think that's one of the cool things about it, and that's one of the things that differentiated itself from its big competitor at the time, Mario. It's interesting, though, because Sonic 2 came out after Super Mario World. So, you know, at that point, we had 4 Mario games up to that point, and technically 5, I guess, if you lived in Japan. But
and the Mario games have branching paths to a degree between, like, Warp Zone
I think,
and Warp Pipes
I think especially
and stuff like
in Super Mario Brothers 3, well, 2 had it as well. But 3 and World...
Not to the same degree as Sonic.
No, not to the same
Sonic
degree
2.
At all. Mario is very much a left-to-right kind of thing, and that they did incredible things with that design. I think those are the things that kind of differentiate it and makes it really kind of cool.
Yeah, so Sonic 1, has not aged well. I know you beat the whole thing, didn't you?
I did. I beat Sonic 1.
How many levels are there?
There are 6 worlds.
Okay.
With 3 zones each, so that's 18 levels.
That was the other thing I hated about Sonic 1, too. 3 zones, because I found oftentimes by the third act of each zone, it was just reusing the same ideas that had already been introduced in the other ones. At least with Sonic 2, I found that the levels were mixed up enough between the two of them that it wasn't doing the exact same thing. Spring Zone especially was literally like the exact same layout with a couple new elements introduced every single time on every level. Spring Zone's awful.
Oh, it's so bad.
Marble Zone is better in some ways.
And then there's the Labyrinth Zone, and then there's like a Cosmic Space Zone, and I'm forgetting one.
Eggman Zone.
Maybe, I don't know.
I don't know. I'm just
all of them.
I don't think I ever even, for full clarity, say I have never beat Sonic 1 or 2 because I was real bad at video games as a kid. And I've never beaten either of them, and that still hasn't changed here this week. I tried to get through Sonic 2 last night, and I'll tell that story in a second. But
Sonic 1 I did beat. Originally, when I started the game, I was like, I'll beat it, and then, you know, maybe I'll look up a guide to get all the Chaos Emeralds. Because I did that as a kid in Sonic Advance. I got all the Chaos Emeralds. That was fun. There were challenge zones where you were running through two. It was fun. And then when I finally beat it, I was like, I'm done with this game forever.
Because the way you get the Chaos Emeralds in that game is not enjoyable at all.
How do you get them in Sonic 1?
You don't know how?
No, I didn't look it up.
You got to get, like, I think you got to get 50 rings per at the end of the level, and then there's that big ring at the end, and you jump into that ring, and then you go into the
bonus marble things.
Yeah, the bonus tipsy-turvy thing. And then the center part of each of those levels, there is like a barrier built up around a Chaos Emerald, and you have to keep bouncing off of the barriers. It's kind of like Breakout or whatever, where if you keep hitting the bricks or whatever, eventually they'll fall apart, and then you can fall in and grab the Chaos Emerald. Except it controls terribly. Those sections are not fun by any means. I collected like one or two Chaos Emeralds when I went back and played through Sonic 1. So it's possible. It's just very, very annoying. So, and they beeline that process in Sonic 2. I think you can get all the Chaos Emeralds before you ever even leave Emerald Hill Zone. Like, that's how much easier it is in Sonic 2. So you can be supersonic by Cubicle Planet Zone if you want to. So, yeah, Sonic 1 did not age very well. I think the music still holds up, and I think it still looks good for its time, but the gameplay itself is not great.
It is.
I think the three acts per zone is not good, and then I think just a lot of control problems.
It is, though, it can't go unstated that, you know, Sonic 1 did spawn the legacy that we have today.
Yeah, the legacy of mediocre Sonic games.
Hey, that werewolf one was good.
No,
sure.
It was not. I mean, that's the thing I've always said about Sonic 2 is that as much as the games are kind of important to me, I've always realized that they're not by any means like fantastic games. Like, even looking forward to Sonic Mania next week, like, I am super hyped for that game. I'm not expecting it to be like a 10 out of 10 or anything amazing that's going to blow my mind. Like, the one thing with that game is that it is capitalizing on my nostalgia for the series, which goes back to me playing the game so long ago as a kid. So it's that what I'm excited and I'm looking forward to. But
hopefully Sonic Mania does blend the nostalgia and modern game design, because
hopefully
it pans out that way.
I've seen so far looks great, so
I'm looking forward to it. So
let's go to Sonic 2, because I think Sonic 2 is actually legit for still a pretty good game for the most part. I think
it's better.
It's very much better. There's still a lot of problems, like I said. I was still dying in so many rip-off ways last night. So I was trying to actually beat the game, and I got to Oil Ocean Zone, and So when you play it on Sega Genesis, if you reach game over and you lose all your lives, you go to a continue screen. You can go to a continue
screen. Oh, that's
screen,
right, too.
And then you can restart. But if you accidentally hit like B or something like that when the game over screen pops up, then it'll kick you back to the main menu. And I accidentally died on Oil Ocean Zone for like the third time last night. I was going to have to restart the zone. And I like just threw my controller down on the ground. And I think when I did, I accidentally maybe hit B and it kicked me back to the main menu. I'm like, okay, I'm done. No, I'm done. I'm not going back through those first
I actually
six
did
zones
that
again.
Earlier. I was in the final zone, the chemical plant zone. I died at Eggman, and it was the cheapest way too, because I killed Eggman, but fell in the floor.
Yep, I did that last night too.
And I was furious, and I guess I hit the B button instead of A to hit continue, and it kicked me all the way back. Thankfully, though, on Xbox you can save whenever you want, and I had saved at the beginning of Chemical Plant Zone. So I didn't lose everything. I had to go through the first level again.
Can't do that on Sega. So I was kind of screwed. So I was like legitimately trying to beat it last night too, and then that happened. I was like, yeah, all right, I'm going to bed. So I reached Oil Ocean Zone, which is like furthest I've ever gotten in that game. It holds up really well, like I said, for the most part. Like, the controls feel better. There actually is a greater sense of speed in that game. Like, they will let you...
Oh,
I'd say there is a decent... decently linked sections of like each zone where like if you get into a groove you can start going really really fast and you can
there was a part in Chemical Plant Zone where I was all the way on the right side of the screen because I was going so fast. Just this way, I was just flowing through it. I did have to realize that in my head, when I would like run into a loop, I would move the joystick with that, which kills your momentum. Yeah. You just have to hold right. Which I guess makes it simpler, and I should have thought of that as far as design principles since it was designed with a D-pad in mind. But there was a part in Chemical Plants, and it felt good. When my speed was uninterrupted and I was doing well, that felt good. And that was one thing Sonic 1 did not do. And Sonic 2
Sonic
does
1 constantly
let you do.
Slows you down. Like, Sonic 2 at least is like, look, if you're good enough, you can definitely speed up in, like, each zone and really start flying through this. Some more than others, but it just depends on the routes you take and the paths you're going down and stuff like that. Chemical Plant Zone's really good about that because you can, like, take a ramp, do a bunch of loops, and then jump into one of those pipes or whatever and, like, shoot around all over the place and then shoot out of that and then keep going. Like, it's Sonic 2 does a really good job with that, especially in that zone. Yeah, dude, like, I don't know. The game just is overall is much more sound as far as game design. Tails kind of screws you over sometimes. Like, he kept kind of getting in my way every now and then last night when I was playing, which is, I don't know. Tails being there is fine.
You can play it with just Sonic, though, right?
There's a two-player mode where you can play it.
Because
one person on the top of the screen.
Okay,
and
so maybe
on the
then it is only in this Xbox version, like the digital Eclipse version. It let me pick if I wanted to play the game as Sonic, Tails, or Sonic and Tails.
Oh, maybe you can choose. I don't know.
I did choose Sonic and Tails. I figured that was the way it was meant to be played, or at least as a kid. But I thought that was interesting, and I think playing as Tails would be cool, because that was one of the things I loved in Sonic Advance. Sonic Advance and Sonic Mania do the same thing, let you play as different characters. Yeah. I got to play as, in Advance, you could play as Sonic, Tails, Knuckles, or Amy, everyone's favorite character.
Nope.
Everyone's favorite. And Mania will let you play as Sonic, Tails, and Knuckles. So I'm really... I love that option in the game. I didn't get to do it in Sonic 2, but I love that in the Sonic games I've played, and I'm looking forward to it in Mania.
I mean, going back to Mania, I'm curious to see if the level design is different based on which character you choose, because I know in Sonic and Knuckles, if you choose Knuckles, there's different paths that you have to take where it's like focused on climbing walls or something like that. Yeah. Like, I'm wondering if the levels are going to be designed specifically with each character in mind, Sonic and Mania. And that might be something that they've talked about already and that I'm just not keyed into. But I guess we'll find out next week. Sonic, and like I said too, like the soundtrack that Sonic 2 is so freaking good, dude. Like that game, that soundtrack is honestly one of my favorites ever. I really think it is a standout from the Genesis Super Nintendo era. Like, I would put that probably within the top, my top like three favorites of that period of time. I really, really like that soundtrack so much more than I do the first game.
It's better than the first game. I liked what I heard a lot. I don't have the nostalgia for it, obviously. But
well,
it's
I don't
good.
Have the nostalgia. Like I said,
but it
I
is,
was getting
it
further
is
in
good.
That game. I was getting further in that game last night than I ever had before, and like every time I did, I was like, "Oh man, this song's awesome! Oh shoot, this song's awesome!" Like, so I was hearing some songs, like I've listened to the soundtrack before, but like I was hearing some songs again that I just like wasn't super familiar with. I'm like, "This is awesome! This is such a good track for this game!" Like, the Sega Genesis had like a crunch to the sound effects in games on that system more so than the Super Nintendo did, and when people really took advantage of that, like there's like a raw, dirty sound to some of the tracks on Genesis games that I really have just always dug a lot. And some of those tracks on Sonic 2 really get the best out of it, I think.
It was a good soundtrack. I liked a lot of the music.
Yeah. So I think overall, I don't know. I'm trying to figure out, I guess, is there anything else you want to talk about with either of them? Like
Sonic 2... I think did for a sequel from 1 to 2.
I'm also really glad we played both, by the way.
Yes, because if it was just Sonic 1, we would have just ripped it. It would have been a sad section. But Sonic 2, I think, did a lot for a sequel. It introduced a co-op mode or having two characters on screen at once. Sure, Tails would disappear half the time and then just magically appear out of nowhere.
He'd fly in. Come on.
He'd fly in. Exactly. Yeah, he would, and I would always think it's an enemy coming to hit me, and I'd like try to run away. I think the levels flowed better in mm-hmm. 2. They didn't often intrude on your speed or momentum or your flow. And I think 2 is a much better Sonic game. I still don't think it's a great platform. I honestly, I don't know what to classify Sonic as, because it's an action platformer. Because
it is a platformer. It is.
It's just a bad platformer.
It's just an unconventional one. It's still a platformer. It's just not a by-the-numbers platformer, I guess. It still falls into that genre for sure, though.
And that's one of the things I struggle with, is when I see those sections where I have to make a jump to something or land on a tiny platform, I'm like, ugh.
Trick is to not jump. Trick is to walk from platform to platform. That is the trick.
I guess. Which, then, why is there even a jump button? But it's,
you gotta jump on the enemies.
I will say this. It has gotten me more excited to play Sonic Mania. And not only that, it's now that I have a Game Boy Micro, I kind of want to dig out my Sonic Advance game and see how it compares. See if I have rose-tinted glasses on for what I grew up playing, or if I really, you know, if that was really a good Sonic game. Mm-hmm. We call them good Sonic games, not necessarily a good game. And I would say that more for Sonic 1 than 2. I had certainly more fun with 2, but there was just some
time. I could see how 1 would be fun in that period of time.
Yes.
But 25 almost years removed from Sonic 1?
Almost
like,
20, it's 27? Almost
25. I don't think it was 90, was it? I can't remember.
Sonic 2 was 92.
Okay, then shoot, it's been like over 25 years. Holy smokes. Okay, then yeah. 25 plus years removed from Sonic 1. Like, I can see how it would have been really fun back then.
26. It came out in 91.
Okay, I can see how it would have been. Then that's, hey, I give them a ton of credit. That leap from Sonic 1 to 2 within a one-year period of time.
That's
really impressive.
Significant change. I think Sonic 2 looks better. There's some animations. Like, you know those, they're almost springboards, like they're at an angle, so when you're running, you run on him, and then he does a jump and mm-hmm. does a little flip. I love that animation. I think the game is visually good at the time. I think some gameplay things could be ironed out or worked on, and maybe they address those things in Sonic 3 and Sonic and Knuckles, and hopefully in Sonic Mania. But that game looked really good. It's kind of, you know, it fueled the console wars back then. And that Sonic has an attitude, and that, I think, is what made him, his appeal as a character last so long, you know, over these 26 years.
Because Sega's combating of Nintendo, because Nintendo was so much pitched as the family console or the console for kids, like, Sega was like, okay, how can we mix that up? And, I mean, if you read Console Wars or whatever, they talk in pretty much in depth about, like, the creation of Sonic and how he was originally, like, a dude that was, like, dating a human hot chick or whatever, and he was, like, wearing a leather jacket or something like that. And they toned down the edginess, but they still kept that overall attitude of an air of coolness or whatever to bring in kids or bring in people who are maybe a little bit older, maybe some more teens or high schoolers or middle schoolers, whatever, stuff like that, more so than kids, which is who Nintendo was primarily pitching to. So, I mean, I think that was a smart decision back in the day for them to do that. I think it reaped some benefits for them. But, yeah, Sonic 2 is still, I'd say, a fun game. Like, and I was, like, I would go back and play that again right now, like, once we stop recording this. I think it holds up well in a lot of areas that I can at least get fun out of it, whereas Sonic 2, it was like...
Sonic 1, you mean?
Or Sonic 1, yeah, it was at least like, well, at least Green Hill Zone's got some good music to it, and so does Marble Zone.
Green Hill Zone!
Yeah, so, I mean, there's good qualities to each of them, but I think Sonic 2 is definitely the superior game out of the two. And, yeah, Sonic 2's always been my favorite, too. Like I said, I never really... To me, the original Sonic games are Sonic 1, 2, and 3, and Knuckles. I never played a whole lot of 3. And Sonic & Knuckles I played a decent amount of as well, but I never got super far in that game either. It's kind of similar to these. I was really bad at these games back in the day.
And you still are now.
I mean, they're still hard, dude. Like, you and me have both said that, said as much. Like, you die a lot in these games. So
Every time I got to a new zone in Sonic 1, I text you. I was like, screw this zone.
Yeah, so, I mean, and imagine if you weren't doing it with save states like you did, and then you
splash yourself
back to the main menu.
Especially like, Sonic 1.
I quit. So, yeah, I think there's good qualities to each. It's definitely got me excited for Sonic Mania, like you said. And I can see how they were popular back for the time. Like you said, the edginess of Sonic mixed with the good soundtrack, the cool blast processing that was on the Sega Genesis.
The blast processing.
The graphics and the animations. Like, they were a lot better than Super Mario World was in certain areas, like the animations and the graphics and stuff like that. Like, I definitely think Sega had something good going, but as far as overall gameplay goes, no, they don't touch the Mario games or anything like that. And I've always said that. Like, I play the Sonic games mainly for the aesthetic of the zones I'm going to mixed with the soundtracks, but the gameplay is never the number one reason why I go to those games. And I'm hoping Mania changes that next week. I hope for the first time ever I can be like, oh, gameplay is actually good in a Sonic game for the first time. Wow, this is awesome. So yeah, looking forward to that next week. And I don't know. Any last remarks with our return to plan report before we get out of here, Max?
I'm excited for whatever game we do next. I think that's one thing. I think if we both, I know you're getting it, but if I end up getting Sonic Mania as well, close to launch, I would love to have a discussion about it and kind of compare it to the old. Yeah, I had fun talking about that. I had fun playing these, even though I was mad at Sonic 1 quite a bit. I had fun going back and playing an old game, like something quick. You know, I think that's kind of in a mood I've been in, you know, coming off of Horizon. Like, I played Wolfenstein, which was like 10 hours, and I've played Sonic 1 and 2. I'm like playing these quick and dirty games.
Same here. That's why I've been playing so many indie games lately. Like, those have just
and
been
so I'm excited. Like, Sonic Mania, it looks like one of those, and we'll see kind of how it all shakes out. But I had fun with it.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun digging out my Genesis again, and I've still got my entire slate of games over there, so I might be... Well, I guess I leave today, so I really don't have a whole lot of time to play around with it. But I was going to get my Shaq Fu on, or maybe play some Sonic and Knuckles, too. So, yeah, I don't know. It was definitely fun going back to this. Yeah, we'll have to... So that's it for Playing Report. We will... I don't know when we'll be doing this again. I know we talked about how we wanted to do it at least like once every 5 or 6 episodes or something like that. Much more frequent moving forward. Back in the day, we were trying to do it once a week, which was not a smart idea.
It's crazy.
So that's not going to be a thing we'll be doing anytime soon.
It's really a part of how we're trying to mix up the second half of the show, and Playing Report is one of those things we can bring in a rotation.
Exactly.
And that helps us create the original vision of the show while being able to be more creative with the second half. So I think
definitely want to do Earthbound at some point. I don't know. I want to do Earthbound. It sounds so weird because I know they're directly influenced by one another. I want to do Earthbound after I've played Undertale.
Yeah, play
as
it backwards.
Weird as that is?
No.
Play it backwards like that? That way you can see where Undertale came from?
If we both get Super Nintendo Classics, I think that would be the right time to play Earthbound.
Well, yeah, that would be a good opportunity to play Earthbound, as well as Star Fox and Star Fox 2, and then there's a couple other things on there, too.
There's a lot.
Final Fantasy 3, Secret of Mana. I still have also talked about doing, I think we should do Chrono Trigger at some point, because that is one that both of us have like 0 point of reference for, and it is widely considered the best RPG ever made by like a lot of people. So we should probably do Chrono Trigger at some point, which is like $5, and you can get it on your Vita Max. I have it on mine. So we should do that one at some point as well. We'll figure it out. We'll come back and clue you all into whatever game we're doing next. But figured it was a good opportunity to dive into Sonic before Sonic Mania. So maybe we'll try to look to do something else timely before another game releases. Maybe we'll do Knack 1 before Knack 2. Cerny experience. I'd have to buy it again. I don't
know if I still own Knack.
I don't think you do. I don't think either of us do. But we'll let you know.
I remember buying Mac and being excited for it.
I remember doing the same thing as well. That's it for episode number 104 this week on Millennial Gaming Speak. Thank you so much for listening. We will be back next week with 105. Actually, I might not be back next week. We'll see.
I think
if you want to do an episode without me, go for it.
I think that's probably what will happen because you're on that vacation and you're doing this kind of digital hiatus.
I mean, I'll be back by Sunday night, and then I have time off work next week, so we could do it Monday or Tuesday, in theory. Like, I'll be at home. We'll see. I'll text you.
We'll figure it out.
I may or may not be here next week. If you decide you want to do something else or have somebody on Max, go for it. So we'll see if I'm back next week, but episode 105 will be in your podcast feeds next week for sure. Until then, like I said, make sure to check out everything else we're doing over at modelcitizensmedia.com. We've got a lot of cool podcasts going on over there right now between Reeling in the Years, Model Citizen Show, and Behind the Pixel. Be sure to also follow us on YouTube here. We do not have a special URL yet, so please subscribe. It helps us potentially get one. We want that youtube.com/MGS podcast or Millennial Gaming Speaker. Whatever, probably MGS podcast, easier to spell. But please subscribe so we can hopefully move towards getting that. You can find this show on SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes, and Google Play. If you could leave us a review in any of those places, it always helps us out. And don't forget to subscribe as well. And then Twitter's. You can find Model Citizens at Model Pods on Twitter. You can follow this show on Twitter at MGS Podcast. You can find Max on Twitter. He's at Max the White. And you can find myself. I am at MoreMan12. And then don't forget, you can hit us up with any questions, comments, or concerns that you might have with the show at mgspodcast@gmail.com. Like I've said in the past, we would love to have more of your questions moving forward because we want to include them on the show in the second half of some of our programs much more often now. So be sure to hit us up there. Let us know what your thoughts are on Sonic 1 or 2 or on Sonic Mania, anything like that. We would love to hear it. Max, I think that's it. We got to get out of here. I got to go to work, and I got to go get a bunch of money for my trip to New York. So we're going to dive out of here. We will be back next week. Or Max, like I said, Max might. I don't know if I will. So if my illustrious voice is here to greet you next week, then I guess things worked out. But if not, I will talk to you soon. All of you have a great week. We love you. Bye-bye.
Farewell. We'll be right back.